Y'all believe that Jesus is the only name that can ever save. Amen. It's at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. We will continue in our new series called Serve, Engage the Seven, Serve. Now, last week we had a little homework assignment, and I don't know if any of you all completed that or not. We'll see. We'll see during time of invitation. Because during time of invitation, it was supposed to be, if you all had, what was the prayer you're supposed to, or the declaration you're supposed to make this week? Okay, use me. That's good. And I hope you all, did you activate that any at all? Did the Lord use you in any way? Did you write that down in any way? You might, I know the Lord used you, but if you didn't write it down, that's fine. But if you did write it down, we'd like to leave it on the altar so that we could read it and see how God used you last week. It would thrill us to death. And so we saw Jesus high and lifted up, right? Isaiah 6, 1 and 8. That was a Christophany. That was the Lord Jesus that Isaiah saw. And he saw Jesus high and lifted up, and he was magnificent, and he's highly exalted. And when he saw the glorified Jesus, he fell at his feet. He was unworthy. He said, woe is me, I'm undone. Okay? And he said, I'm here to serve you. Why? Because you are the Lord. This week I want to look at this same Jesus. Okay, the Jesus that Isaiah saw high and lifted up that made him fearful. And we're going to see this Jesus who emptied himself and humbled himself and took off his robes of glory and did not take advantage of his Godhead, as Philippians tells us. And he became a servant and he took on flesh. And because Jesus became a servant and he models what it means to serve, then we, as his Christians, as Christ followers, as his disciples, as his children, we are to serve like Jesus served. Amen? So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read Luke 22:25. The text that we will look at this morning will be John 13:1-17. That'll be what we actually preach out of and get the message from. But I want to begin by reading Luke 22:25. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table, but I am among you as the one who serves. Let's pray. Lord and Master, we are thankful and grateful that we have the opportunity to come before your presence to worship you, Lord. And Lord, as we see your servanthood and you humbling yourself and coming down and being a servant, we should too. Help us, Lord, to get the attitude and the motive and the reason why we should serve, and may we follow in your example to bring glory and honor to your great name. Help me to preach plain and clear this morning. Lord, I do understand the judgment I have on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we talk about serving and being a servant, and having the attitude of a servant, it really kind of goes contrary to how we were raised and how we were brought up. It's just that, you know, the American spirit is to get ahead, to get up. And we learn this early, like the natural desire for us is to be first. We want to be first. We want to get ahead. We want the best. We want the best choice. You give us a choice, we want the first choice. We want the best of the first choice. And we learn this young. Those of us who went to school, and you as little kids, right? And the teacher goes, "Okay, class, it's time to take a water break." What did you try to do as a kid? Huh? I mean, You wanted to be what? First. Didn't care about anybody else. Didn't care if anybody else was thirsty. You're like, I'm first. Even if you really didn't want a water break, you really weren't thirsty, you still wanted to be what? First. Recess. Thank God for recess, right? I'm glad they brought that back in elementary schools, because I taught a couple years, and we went through a little phase in education. You always got phases in education. You always got different things, you know, going on in education. And we went through our little phase that elementary kids needed classroom time, that recess took away from their educational learning. And that we needed to maximize the learning time, and we couldn't give kids recess anymore. And I thought, man, that is so sad. That is so sad. Kids need to get out there and play as a kid, because I always loved recess as a kid. How many of y'all loved recess as a kid? Oh, I loved recess. Now our recess, our playground, you had to be tough to play on our playground. Our playground was was graveled rocks, just those little gravel rocks. Didn't have grass. Didn't have these fluffy things to cushion you when you fell. No, you fell. You fell on rocks. And we loved it, right? and so it'd be like, it's time for recess. Let's line up. What would you do? I mean, you would even fight in line to get first, wouldn't you? Some of your buddies would be, you know, you'd be jawing back and forth. You want first. Why do you want first? Because you want to get out there and that playground, and if there's a swing and you wanted to swing that day, you needed to be first, because if you weren't first, what would happen? You wouldn't get that. Somebody else get that swing, and nobody else is going to get that swing, because I want that swing. I want what I want. I want to be first. We still have that kind of attitude as adults too, don't we? You know, and husbands, you know, maybe this has happened to you. You've been gracious and kind and offered to fix your wife a bowl of ice cream. Honey, would you like a bowl of ice cream? Well, yeah, sure, I'd like a bowl of ice cream. And you go into the kitchen, you get it in the freezer, you get your ice cream out, you start scooping it out. You know, you put some ice cream in one bowl, ice cream in another bowl, got the spoons in there, put it back up, pick it up, ready, and you're walking back to the room, and you look. And you've realized you've put a lot more ice cream in one side, on one bowl, than you did the other. And you're in a quandary. What do I do? Do I give my wife, the love of my life, the mother of my children, do I give her the bigger bowl of ice cream, or do I take it for myself? And so you go to the room, and by that time, you've already justified in your mind that she would want you to have the bigger bowl anyway, so you give her the smaller bowl. I don't know, there's something about us that we always want to be first. We want the best, we want the biggest, we want it for us. And Jesus gives us a different way to live. And some of you may wear these bracelets, and I don't think it's a bad concept. The videos and testimonies on the website are great, so I'm not knocking their testimonies or stories, but the I am second bracelet. Some of y'all have ever heard the I am second. And if you can't be first, what do you want to be? Second. Oh, if I can't be first, I know I can't be first. I'm not going to be as good as Jesus, but I can be second best. I'm second. No, really what Jesus called us to be was last. Not to even worry about first, second, third, fourth. No, but as a Christian, it ought to be, I'm last. I am least. I am a servant. That's how Jesus taught us to think and live. Turn to John chapter 13. John 13, we'll look at this. Starting in verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, this was before Jesus was about to be crucified, this is the Last Supper, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God. If you have your Bible, if you got a pen out there, I would just kind of asterisk that verse. That's what we're going to look at. We're going to pick that apart here in just a moment. He rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garment and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Well, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That's why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you what? Do them." Okay, now let's think about this. This is Jesus that Isaiah saw high and lifted up. Now he has humbled himself and became a servant. And he puts himself in a servant's role and takes off his outer garment, lays it aside, and begins to kneel at the feet of his disciples, and he begins to wash their feet like a servant would. And he says, "I've given you an example to follow." Now, I don't believe that he means for us literally to wash one another's feet. He's giving us an example of servanthood, of the attitude of serving one another. He says, you're going to be blessed if you do these things. Now, how was Jesus able to put on the role of a servant where he is high and lifted up and worthy of all praise? How can he humble himself and become a servant? I think that the text tells us three ways that he was able to do that, and I think they can apply to us. We can make those applicable to us to where we also can serve and humble ourselves. I think there's three keys here. Number one, he knew who he was. He knew what he was doing, and he knew where he was going. He was confident in who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. But he didn't have to go around announcing to everybody, "Hey, I'm Son of God. I'm Son of God." He didn't do that. In fact, Jesus, the most favorite title that Jesus used for himself, anybody know? Son of Man. The Son of Man. Why the Son of Man? I believe this is the reason why he used Son of Man. Son of Man in Daniel, it's a messianic title that only those who had ears to hear and eyes to see would figure out as a way that he could declare his messiahship without having to go around and announcing it to everyone. He let his life become what people noticed. I mean, of course he drew crowds. Of course he drew attention. I mean, when you heal people, it draws attention, does it not? But he didn't seek that attention. He lived his life. Jesus' desire was one purpose, to glorify his Father in heaven. That was his purpose. He was going to glorify his Father in heaven, and he lived in such a way to honor him. And he completely knew who he was, and he didn't have to make everybody know who he was, and he revealed who he was. He didn't have to get his validation from other people. There was only one he was trying to please, and that was who? His Father. Now, the reason why a lot of us can't serve and we can't put on a servant's role is because we want to be recognized all the time. Right? We can't serve others because then what if somebody recognizes somebody else? We have a need to be recognized, applauded, right, and affirmed. We want that. And I think social media is the perfect firestorm for that, is it not? Huh? Some of you are so addicted to Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is. And you make a post. And then you go back not too long ago. It's been like 15 minutes, 10 minutes maybe. You're like, I wonder how many people liked it. And if you get all kinds of likes, you know, 80-some, 50, 100-some likes, you're like, you just smile inside and you think, ah, yes, everybody likes what I said or what I posted. I'm important. But then, I mean, your day's great, right? You're just so happy. But you post something, you get back on there 15 minutes later, you go, I wonder how many liked what I posted. 3? Only 3 people liked that? I wonder why they didn't like that. And now you're what? Now you're all depressed. World's falling apart. Oh, gosh, don't know if you're going to make it through the day. Nobody must like me. You know, it's doom and gloom. Why? Why do we feel the need to have the affirmation of other people when only we should seek the affirmation of God? Amen? We need to be confident in who we are in Christ Jesus. I don't need anybody else to put value on my life when Jesus has already placed the value on my life. He said, I loved you with an everlasting love, with an undying love, and he went all the way to the cross to die so that you could be redeemed. He loves you. Jesus loves you. That's enough. That's all the validation I need to know that Jesus loves me and he died for me. That's what he kept going on about the Pharisees. What did the Pharisees want? The Pharisees wanted the applause of who? The applause of men. He said, you see the Pharisees, they go over there and they pray on the street corners. They pray on the street corners and they wear these nice flowing robes and they pray loud and long so that everybody can hear them. And they pray so everybody can hear them and see them so that people will think, well, they're very spiritual. So when the ordinary common folk was walking down the streets and they saw religious man over here praying, they would go, wow, man, isn't he so spiritual? I'll never be like him. He's just so super saint. And they love the applause of men. And Jesus told them, if you seek the applause of men, that's your reward. That's your reward. But when you pray, when you give, when you do these things, you do it secretly so that the Father who sees you in secret will then reward you openly. You don't have to go around bragging about how great you are. You just walk in who you are, doing it for the glory of God. Put your pride and ego, lay it to the side. You don't need the applause of men. You just need the approval of heaven. Right? What are you going to get? A trophy? I got all kinds of trophies that are underneath my house in the crawl space. Right? Some of your trophies you think that are so awesome and magnificent, they're going to be in some yard sale someday or in the junkyard. A certificate, you know, a medal, a watch. Do you do things for the applause of man to be recognized, or do you live in such a way to say, you know what, I'm a child of God, I have one to please, and it is the Lord. And I'm going to live my life to please and honor Him. I'm going to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus loved His Father. He obeyed His Father. He knew who He was and He knew what He was doing. He came to accomplish a mission. What was His mission? To seek and to save the lost. To redeem the lost. And He was focused and He knew what He was supposed to be doing. He knew His life was about doing His Father's business. And the way that He was able to humble Himself is that He loved God in such a way that He was willing to humble Himself because He loved His people. He loved people. Do you love people the way God loves people? Do you love to serve people in hopes that they come to know Jesus? I tell you, you know, it's so, that's why, you know, Ashley, I don't know where she went and sat, but, you know, to baptize you this morning, you know, I think if people like Chris and Beth, they played a big part in that. That you were able to be a witness to her as well, inviting her to church, other people in this community, I know, see her at the ball court, and she comes. And God gets a hold of her heart. That's what it's about. This life, we have one purpose, to know God. People ask, what's my purpose in life? What's my purpose? Why am I here? Why am I here? You're here to know God, to know Him, to have a relationship with the Lord, to be known by God, to love Him. That's the primary purpose of your life, is that you would have a relationship with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, it doesn't matter what you do with the rest of your life. If you miss out on the purpose of your life is not to go get a fancy degree. It's not to go get a job. It's not to go get this or that. It's to know God through His Son, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, that's your first purpose of why you're here. Secondly, is to obey Him and to honor Him in all that you do. Jesus' life mission was to bring honor and glory to His Father. Our mission in life ought to be to honor the Lord in all areas of our life. And one way that we honor the Lord is by imitating what Jesus said to do, by doing, obeying what Jesus said to do, and to become a servant. To lay aside pride, ego at the door, to be a servant, to serve one another. To not think you're better than anyone else. That you're not too good to do something. You see food on a table that someone didn't throw away? Well, I'm not too good that I can't pick it up and go throw it away for them. Right? Well, it'd be amazing, like in our cafe, that that people can't even throw away their own food because we have so many servants here. As soon as they see somebody done, say, hey, can I take that for you? I'd like to throw that away. And then get some of the men around noticing that we have garbage bags overflowing to say, you know what? I'll go throw those away. Honey, sister, because our ladies are the one having to sometimes grab those bags and throw it away, and they don't need to be doing it, just saying. And the guys picking that up and throwing that away, say, hey, we'll take that out. Amen. To serve. And serve not for the recognition, not for the applause. Just serve because you're serving, because you're following after your master. I think some of the greatest servants are also the nursery workers and the children's church teachers. Amen. You know? Working, investing in your children, pouring God's truth into their heart and soul while we're in here, and they're ministering into them, and probably don't get thanked a lot. you know? And if they're serving with the right reason, guess what? It'd be nice to hear thanks every once in a while, but can I tell you, for everyone who serves, Jesus in heaven is saying thank you. I see that. I've got that. Do you realize that we're going to be held accountable for God for how we've lived our life? That's why Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in what? Heaven. The way that you serve, the way that you serve Jesus, it matters. The way that you live your life of faithfulness, it matters. That you're storing up treasures in heaven. And those things that I think that are the least likely, the least visible, the ones that nobody else wants to do, but somebody says, I'll do it because it just needs to be done. He puts a super big star by that name. He says, I see that. No one else may see it. I see it. I've got it on record. And our attitude ought to be one that hey, if I can serve you in any way, I will be willing to serve you. It doesn't matter who you are. Husbands, we ask, you know, what's one of our purposes in life? If you are a husband, listen, one of your purposes in your life is to serve your wife. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought I was supposed to be the head of the house. I thought I was supposed to be the leader. Yeah, you are to be the leader of your house. And guess what? In Jesus' economy, you lead by serving. Jesus was a servant leader. We have all these leadership conferences, don't we? Everybody wants to be a leader. Leader this, leader that. We don't have any servanthood conferences. Nobody wants to be a servant. Everybody wants to be the leader. But Jesus said, if you're going to be first, you need to be last. If I came to serve and I'm the one that sits at the table, but yet I put myself in a position of servanthood, and a servant's not greater than the master, and just so we all are clear, he's the master, we're the servant, we're not greater than him, and if he came to serve, guess what we ought to do? Serve. Wives, you ought to serve your husband. We ought to be servants at the workplace. I wonder how you could serve someone this week when you go to work. Say, well, Grant, I'm the boss. Doesn't matter. How can you serve somebody? How can you show humility and servanthood to someone? I wonder what it would look like if we really adopted that servanthood mentality. Because we're confident in who we are. We don't need somebody to puff us up. Hey, we're a child of God. We don't need the applause of men. We're looking for the applause of heaven. And we realize we're not better than anybody else. We have one simple job. We're going to obey him, honor him. One way is to do that through serving. And he knew where he's going. He said, I'm going back to the Father. Right? I'm going back to the Father. Jesus knew his mission was about ready to be completed. He was going back to the Father. Let's look at verse 3 real quick. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things to his hands, that he had come from God, he was going back to God. He knew that he was about ready to finish his task. He had the perspective of what? Eternity. How many of you all believe that we as a people, not maybe you as an individual, but we as a people, we put a whole lot of stock into this world? And we don't pay much attention to what's going to come next. Right? Jesus had eternity in his perspective. He knew that what he was doing was going to have an impact for all eternity. I wonder if we live that way. Do we live in such a way that we know that how we live our lives, there's consequences for our lives for all eternity, and what we do now is affecting eternity, and what in eternity is going to be a lot longer than this time that I have here on earth? We all realize the fact that we will breathe our last breath at some point, right? We know that. We never think it's going to come when it comes, but we know the reality that there's going to be a day we breathe our last breath. And the question is going to be, is how did I live my life? Did I live it self-consumed, only worried about what I could get and how much I could get, how much in front of the line I could get, how the best I could get, what I could have, how much I could achieve, what I could do? Or did I live and spend my life to bring honor and glory to the King who is my master, and I humbly served him with my life? And I put his kingdom and his ways above my ways. It's a good question, isn't it? Will we serve the way Jesus taught us to serve? Now look what he says. Let's jump to verse 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to what? Wash one another's feet. Now again, he's not saying that we need to, when we see each other, we need to wash each other's feet. He's saying that we need to have the position of what? Of a servant. I say to you, a servant, well, verse 16, truly, truly. So he wants us to make sure that we understand this. That Greek word is amen, amen. Truly, truly. Listen to this. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you what? If you what? Do them. You get that? Blessed are you if you do them. Not if you hear them. Not if you study them. Not if you teach them. Not if you preach them. There's no blessing on my life for preaching a message this morning on servanthood. There's no blessing on your life for you getting into a gather group or a small group and you all talking about what it means to be a servant and everybody affirming that and saying, yes, we need to be a servant. Which that's what we call discipleship in our culture now. Just getting around, reading the Bible and agreeing with what the Bible says. Yep. But James said, don't be a hearer only, but a what? But a doer. Jesus said, blessed are you if you do these things. Not just know to do these things, but to actually do these things. So he says, blessed are you, happy are you. A blessing comes on your life. God will bless you if you will have the attitude and the heartbeat and the practice of being a servant and you serve. It amazes me, and I wonder. We live in the greatest nation in the world, I would argue. At least one of the greatest nations in the world. We live in one of the best times that you could live, with the luxuries and all of the things that we have and all this stuff, this information, this technology, and you know, whatever, this economy. But yet we still live in one of the depressed cultures of the time. Why? I don't get it. I don't get how we can have what we have as a society and a culture and be depressed unless our society and our culture is so self-absorbed and so self-driven that all we're worried about is what we can get and what we have and worried about how to make our life better because we all want a better life now. We want to live our best life now. And we're all worried about us. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe if we took our life and did it the way Jesus said and do it opposite and not seek our kingdom first, but to seek his and to humble ourselves and to empty ourselves, and we adopt a servanthood mentality and say, you know what? My life, it doesn't, all it matters is, does it bring glory to God, and I want to serve other people. All people. In the kingdom of God, there's no place for thinking that you're better than anybody else. Not based on your race, not based on your economics, not based on your skill and your abilities. But people are valuable because they're created in the image of God. That's why. That's why we serve people. That's why nobody is better than anybody else. But we do that, don't we? We put people in categories. Oh, these are your wealthy people. These are your poor people. Oh, these are your smart folks over here. These are your people that is. Oh, these are your good-looking people. And we categorize people, and we find ourselves playing favorites and only wanting to help those who may what? Be able to help us. That's why Jesus said, man, when you give a banquet, when you throw a party, don't invite the people that can throw a party and invite you back in return. Instead, go invite the lame, the crippled, the weak, the sick. And blessed will you be if you do that. I wonder how many of us throughout the day look down upon somebody else. Oh, Grant, I never do that. I never think I'm better. Do you? I don't know what y'all used to call it. Growing up as a kid, we used to call it being stuck up. Anybody, hey, y'all know that term, being stuck up? A stuck up or a snob, you know, walking around. Thinking you're better than someone. Looking at how someone's dressed, can't associate with them. High school students. Man, if you can't love all everybody in your high school, you got a problem. If all, you know, you classify and you say, you know, those are the rejects, those are the people that, you know, they're this, they're that. You got a real pride issue. Jesus humbled himself, and he took on a servant's form. And as he was given that Lord's Supper, he was given an illustration of what he came to do. As he was reclining at table with them, he stood up and he humbled himself, and he took off his outer robe cloth. When Jesus high and lifted up in Isaiah 6:1-8 that we looked at last week. There's a time that he got up from his position and he stepped down and he humbled himself and he took on flesh. And as he knelt to wipe the disciples' feet and wash their feet with water, he took on the form of a servant. And Jesus lived a life of servanthood. And he washed them with water. Soon he'd be washing us clean with his blood. And as they laid his body in the tomb after they crucified him, he went back up and reclaimed his throne. As he finished washing his disciples' feet, he girded himself back up and took his position. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father once again. He is the King forever and ever, King eternal. And he showed us what it means to be a servant. We're not the ones high and lifted up. We're not the king. He is. If he humbled himself, we can too. After this meal, John and James' mother came up to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, can my son sit at your right and your left in the kingdom?" What? What's that about? What's she want her sons to have? What place? Second and third. Well, I know we can't be first because Jesus is first, but boy, we sure can be second and third. Can we have that right and left position? Jesus is like, God, it's not mine to give. No, and then the other disciples hear that and they get indignant by that. And they're like, what are they wanting? Everybody's still jockeying for position to be recognized, to be known. No, Jesus, no, he closes and he says this. Look at verse 25. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your what? Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but he gave his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. And if Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve, what's that mean for us? We got to serve. This week, I want you to think about who's one person that you can serve in your family. Can you intentionally serve them this week? How can you serve them? How can you show servanthood for somebody in your family? Also, how can you show servanthood for someone that you work with? Think about that this week. Put that together. And let your heart be one that glorifies the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us. Take away our pride and our ego. May we live a life of humility, serving you, bringing honor to you. Lord, knowing that we are your children, we don't need the applause of men. We're only seeking your approval. Knowing that our job is just to honor you in all that we do. And one of those ways is through serving, as you have shown us and told us that we are to do. And Lord, help us to realize that all that we do impacts eternity. That one day we're going to leave this world. And what we have done for you, it matters. So help us to live a life worthy of the calling. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray.